This is a Hawley Baptist Church podcast, bringing you into a community in which everyone is welcome, lives are changing, and Jesus is King. Thanks for listening with us today. We would invite you to subscribe so you can keep up to date with us. But for now, we pray you enjoy listening for what God has in store for you in this episode, and that it helps change your life for the better, in Jesus' name. Enjoy.
Little slide up there, just looking at a brainstorm that some people were given in terms of what leadership means to them, and in terms of employees, there's some words up there you might recognise. But leadership, what do we mean by leadership, and who are leaders? I'm going to put this slide up here of a group of people. It's the only time Martin's going to be next to Mark Zuckerberg and Owen Jones there. I don't know that, that's true, it's true. So we've got maybe some familiar faces up there, maybe not. So we've got Justin Welby up there, who's the Archbishop of Canterbury, leader of the Anglican Church worldwide. We've got Rishi Sunak, who's the Prime Minister of the UK. Next to him is Mark Zuckerberg, who is the CEO of a company called Meta, which owns Facebook and Instagram. So he was the original founder of Facebook. A while back, we've got Gareth Southgate there, the manager of the England men's football team. Martin over there as well, our very own Martin, pastor of the church here. And in the middle there, it's the journalist Owen Jones, who some people will know. He writes for The Guardian. He's got a very large social media presence. So he's very prominent online, and he's a little bit of a different one out of these, because everyone else there has like official leadership positions, if you like. Owen Jones doesn't. He's not a leader. He's a writer. He's a journalist. But actually, a lot of what he says, he's got quite a large following through what he says and what he does. And he's looked up to by a great many people. So when we look at the idea of leadership, I think we've got to not just think of people in positions of authority. It can be different ways that they can have these leadership qualities as well. I had a wonderful story the other day about Pele. Does everyone know Pele? Hopefully he's a name that transcends just football. So known as one of the greatest footballers of all time, and he actually sadly died just over a year ago. And I know growing up, Pele was the name, it was everyone, he was like the pinnacle of the game. And there's lots of debate about who's the greatest footballer of all time, but Pele was certainly one of them. He started playing back in the 1950s and finished playing in the 1970s. But his persona when he was alive in Brazil, where he's from, was enormous. He was the most famous Brazilian. So not just the most famous Brazilian footballer, but he was the most famous Brazilian. And, that had an impact on his life and in terms of where he could go. And he had to be quite careful in some ways about what he said because people looked up to him so much. He tells this wonderful story. He said he was going to an engagement once, and he was picked up by a driver, and the driver was taking him through Sao Paulo at the time. And it was full of heavy traffic, really bad. And he was just stuck at a standstill for about 45 minutes. And he was starting to worry that he was going to be late for this. And they got moving a little bit, and he suddenly realised that the driver, he kept turning around to him. He was all green in the face, and he was feeling quite sick. So Pele thought, well, what do I do? So in the end, he got him to pull over, and they swapped seats. So the driver sat in the back, and Pele got in the car and drove this car through the traffic of Sao Paulo. Now, I think, it's probably a bit like King Charles riding a moped through London. If you saw that, it would stand out a little bit, wouldn't it? So, this is the presence Pele's got. And he thought, well, I'll put my foot down to try and get there. And, of course, what happens? Sirens go on, the police pull him over. So, of course, they come up to the window and they look in and they see who it is. And they think, oh, I've got a problem here. So he radios in to the captain, and he says, Captain, we've got a real problem here. So he said, what's happening? He said, well, pulled somebody over. He said, someone who's very, very, very important. So he said, well, who is it? And he said, well, it's a difficult situation, but this person's very, very, very important. So he said, well, who is it? And he said, well, I've got no idea, but Pele's his driver. Wonderful story about him. He had a presence, though, and as a result, he had to watch a bit what he said. So leadership's not just about people in leadership. And I want to look today at three Bible verses, passages that look at aspects of how Jesus tried to get across what it is to be a new kind of leader and actually set an example for his disciples. So first verse we're going to look at. If you've got a Bible, please... am I going backwards? So leave it to Steve. Thank you. Steve's going to do it for me. If you've got a Bible, first verses we're going to look at, Mark chapter 10. If you've got a Bible, keep it handy in case we need to refer back to it and things like that. I've always found that very useful. But Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. Let me just read these verses out. So it says, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Now, again, a bit of context probably with this story. By the time we've got to this story in the Bible, the disciples had spent quite a bit of time with Jesus, and they'd seen the type of person that he was. You know, they were willing to drop things and leave their lives and go and follow him. So they knew that he was an important person. He was their leader. They looked up to him. And because of that, Jesus was not to be bothered, because he's too important for that. He's too important to be bothered by children. Now, children were not significant people. You know, they were insignificant people. So you leave Jesus alone. He's too important for this sort of thing. Now, we can see from this passage here, and I think it's verse 14, it describes Jesus' reaction to that attitude as being indignant. Now, I think initially to me, you hear the word indignant, I think there's probably a little bit of mild irritation, if you like. If you look it up, indignant actually means feeling or showing anger or annoyance at what is perceived as unfair treatment. So Jesus wasn't just a little bit irritated by this, he was angry. He was angry at the disciples saying, you're too important to have these children here. Now, they probably had Jesus' best intentions at heart there, I would imagine. But Jesus is saying, you're wrong. It's not a case that I'm too important and the children are not. In fact, it's more than that. So there's justifiable anger from him at the children not being treated right. And I can imagine other leaders at the time were probably at that stage with children. You know, we can't have children near us. Children are not significant. That was probably what it was for other leaders at the time. Jesus completely turns this on his head. And his anger was because he saw the children not being given the status that they deserved. Jesus says that the kingdom of God belongs to children. So he doesn't say the kingdom of God is going to belong to these children when they're a bit older, when they've understood more, when they're a little bit more important. He says that the kingdom of God belongs to these children now. And he goes further than that and says that actually, all you disciples and you people, you need to be learning from these children. The stuff that you can learn from these children, don't patronize them. These children are important and we can learn from them. Now that's an example for us, isn't it? What can we learn from children? Now, Connected, the youth group, are doing a live stream at the moment. And last week, they were asked what they thought a leader should be. What quality should a leader have? So I'll give you some of the answers that they gave. Kind, fair, inclusive, loyal. And this is the one that stood out for me, to know when you're wrong. It's wisdom there, isn't there? Wisdom from our young people in the church here that we can learn from. And I think that's the first challenge for us with that. Let's not patronise children. Let's not look down on children. Let's realise that we, as Jesus has asked us to do, actually learn from children, learn from our young people. Let's look at the next verse here. So we're looking at Mark 10 still, a little bit later on in the chapter, from verse 32. That's through to verse 45. So they were on their way up to Jerusalem, with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. So he says, "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Is that word again there? Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." This is the key few words here. "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So this trip that they're talking about here, this is Jesus, he's beginning his final trip into Jerusalem. And of course, after this, it comes what we would know maybe as the triumphal entry, like Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey. So this is where we are with this now. So we're coming to the end, if you like, of Jesus' ministry. And things are probably a little bit of a fever pitch. You can imagine the excitement of the way things are building up at this moment. And in the middle of this fever pitch, when his disciples are probably thinking, "We've got this great leader here, we're looking forward to what he's going to do," he takes them aside and he says he's going to be spat on, flogged and killed. And I don't think the disciples actually understand any of what he's saying to them. I can almost in some ways picture their bewildered faces as they look back on at him and thinking, "Well, what's he saying? Why is he saying this? He's our great leader. What's he going on about?" In fact, we see in the next few verses the response of James and John to this. So Jesus has gone and he's talked about this awful thing that's going to happen to him. And it's almost like James and John have turned around and said, yeah, I mean, we get the flogging and, you know, the killing and all that, but can we sit next to you? Is that okay? Can we sit next to you? Because you're this great leader and we want a little part of that, don't we? So maybe one of us could sit on this side and one of us could sit on that side of you. That's what we want. We want a bit of that authority that you have here. So Jesus goes on to talk a little bit about that authority and how the Gentiles, which is the non-Jewish people, used it for their own benefit, which is probably what James and John were thinking about at that point. They want a bit of what Jesus has got. He's this great leader. We want a little bit of that. So they've not really understood or heard what Jesus is trying to say about what's going to happen to him. So when Jesus explains about how some people use authority, he uses these key words, as I said, in verse 43. Not so with you. So he says, this is how these people have authority. This is what they do. They lord it over people. This is what happens. But if you want to be my followers, that's not going to be the case with you. Not so with you. If you want to be great, you've got to be a servant. And Jesus himself sets an example of what it is like to be a servant. See, that is leadership and that is authority. And the whole idea of what leadership and authority is has been completely turned upside down by what Jesus is saying here. And I'm not really sure that the disciples have really understood or really liked anything that they're hearing here. Let's look at our final passage. So from the book of John, so just a couple of books on. John chapter 13. And reading from verse 3. So in terms of a timeline, we're looking now at a period where they've arrived in Jerusalem. Okay, so we're not too far on really from the last passage we looked at and what Jesus had said to his disciples then. So from verse 3, it says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So we can see again, I think, from these verses that the disciples have been a little bit thrown by what Jesus has said. And we can see Peter, he seems almost appalled by the idea of having his feet washed. To be fair to Peter, I think as Jesus starts to explain things, I think he starts to perhaps grasp a little bit, you know, and I think his intentions are in the right place with things. But the thing is, he knows Jesus. He's seen what he's been doing over the years. He's seen the type of leader he is. And the idea of washing feet, I think, in that time, it would have been a very dirty, dusty place. And when people travelled places, they would have had their feet cleaned. And I get that. If I've been for a run or something and I come back, it's really nice after I've had a shower. My feet just to feel a little bit cleaner. You know, you get rid of all that sweat and dirt and little bits of fluff from your socks that you can get rid of off your feet. And your feet suddenly feel really, really nice again. So I can only imagine what it was like at that time where things were a lot dirtier and dustier and things to actually go to a place and have your feet clean. It must have felt really nice, especially if you're preparing then to have a nice meal with your friends, things like that. But it would have been the servants that washed the feet. It's not the leader. It's not someone as important as Jesus. And Peter's looking at this and thinking, like, well, why are you doing this? You're far too important to be doing something as menial and, let's face it, probably, depending on whose feet it is, quite unpleasant as washing people's feet. But Jesus is adamant in what he's saying, and he's trying to reiterate a little bit about what he's been trying to tell them with that passage that we looked at earlier. So he says in verse 13, he says, I am the teacher and I am the Lord. You call me that, and that's correct. That's who I am. That doesn't need to change at all. But he's saying, because I'm the teacher, because I'm the Lord, because I'm the leader, this is exactly why I should be doing this. It's that whole idea again of leadership being turned upside down. He says, then, verses 14 and 15, he says that if I'm going to be washing the feet and you want a part of me and everything and to be my follower, you need to be doing this as well. He reiterates, he doesn't say the same words, but again, it's a reiteration of that previous passage when he talks about the Son of Man coming to serve and not to be served. Because the whole idea of the culture at the time was strength and victory and might, which probably hasn't changed a whole lot in our culture all those years later. And Jesus is trying to actually put something in of an others first type of culture instead. And you know, even though the disciples were probably a bit slow to grasp it here, they did start to grasp it, as we can see. If you read the book of Acts, which is the fifth book in the New Testament, it talks about the early church and how the disciples and those early followers of Jesus went about what they did. And you can see then that these words are starting to sink in about them actually trying to put other people first and what a leader should look like at that time. They started to mirror what Jesus taught them. So they started to look after sick people. They took in abandoned children. They showed generosity to people. They were compassionate to people. They had no authority. They weren't leaders of the time. They had no say in any local government or anything like that. They had no military victory. But their behaviours in what Jesus had taught them started to spread contagiously. So I just want to finish and think and say really that I think we are often like the disciples, I think, aren't we? In so many different ways, so many different ways. I think we're so often quite slow to understand exactly what Jesus is saying. And maybe when we do understand what Jesus is saying, we don't quite like what he's saying to us as well. Because I think a lot of what he was trying to teach them at the time was not something that was particularly natural. It wasn't intuitive to behave in that way. It wasn't intuitive to put other people first and to have that servant heart. And that's something that we need to be looking at as well. And those three passages we've looked at today, not looking down on people, putting other people first, having a servant heart. And those are the behaviours that Jesus has mirrored for us. And you know, the great thing is always that when Jesus gives us these examples to follow and asks us to behave in this way, he always helps us with that as well. And it's a process with all of us, I think, isn't it? It's a process in knowing that we haven't got things right, in knowing that it might take a while to even get close to getting things right, but it's a journey on that process of starting to think, how can we have a servant heart? How can we look to that example Jesus set us, put other people first, and not to look down on people? You know, Jesus gives a lot to us, but he expects a lot back from us as well. And I think, as with everything that he said, that's both a challenge and an encouragement. Just going to have some questions come up shortly.
Some questions.
What people do we look down on or patronise? How can we change our attitudes so that we look to learn from these people instead?
Which aspect of Jesus showing us what a new kind of leader looks like has resonated most with you? Jesus gives us a lot, but expects a lot too. What does that mean for you?
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the sermon from Dave. It was great, I thought. And lots of things for us to think about. So how does Jesus show us what a new kind of leader is like? How do you think Jesus was different to other leaders that were around?
Yeah. He didn't just look at the people that were like wild. He also like looked after the people that society didn't like necessarily.
I think that's perfect. Yeah, he was somebody who was there for other people, wasn't he? Yes.
He wasn't like really, he didn't like seem really rich and wear those like expensive clothes and have so many like bands of stuff because he was rich. He was like quite humble and was still important though.
Yeah, so that was back then a very different way of leading people. So I don't know if the people watching at home have got any ideas on that. And while, if you've got any questions, if you're at home, can I remind you of the email address? Got questions at hawleybaptist.co.uk. So,
org.uk.
Sorry. So I'll say that all again slowly. Got questions at hawleybaptist.org.uk, the correct email address. And if you email there, someone will get back to answer your question. Now we've been thinking about leaders, and during the week some of our young people got together and we filmed a prayer video where we prayed for different leaders in our lives. So the prayer video should come now.
Dear God, I would like to pray for my head teacher, that she is able to help us and make the right decisions. Amen.
Dear God, please help my head teacher, Mr. Gladstone, make great choices to help the school. Amen.
Dear God, I pray for the guide leaders, that they make the right choices and find it easier to entertain the guides. Amen.
Dear God, I pray for my head teacher, Mrs. Jones, that she makes good choices and has an easier job at helping the school. Amen.
Dear Lord, we thank you for our connected team. We hope that they lead these children into the right ways and your ways. Thank you.
Dear God, I pray that Volodymyr Zelensky, leader of Ukraine, leads his country through these troubling times. I pray that he can make peace with their enemies so the residents of Ukraine can live in happiness. Amen.
Dear God, I pray for our king who is going through cancer treatment, that you will keep him safe and give him the strength to be able to lead our country. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we ask that you help the leaders of our country to be wise at this time, especially Rishi Sunak. Please give him the grace, mercies and strength to lead our country justly, compassionately and humbly. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
That was today's episode of Hawley Baptist Church Podcast. We hope it's prompted you to want to follow Jesus, hopefully a lot, but even just a little bit more closely. If you have any questions about what you've heard in today's episode, or you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, you can email us, gotquestions@hawleybaptist.org.uk. We'd love to hear from you. It would really make our day. If you want to hear more from us, just a reminder, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and you can download the Hawley Baptist Church app from the Apple App Store or Google Play to hear it as well. Simply search Hawley Baptist Church. Thank you again for listening to Hawley Baptist Church Podcast. We pray God will bless you, and we'll see you next time.